KCBO, 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. We've just learned at least 9 people were killed in a fire at an assisted living facility southeast of Providence last night. Fall River, Massachusetts Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon.
Crews were met with heavy fire coming through the main entrance and multiple people hanging out the windows, looking to be rescued.
The search suspended for 166 people still missing in July 4th's flash flooding after new floods in central Texas. KRLD's Chris Fox.
3 additional inches of rain stalled the recovery effort in Kerr County. As much as 9 inches of rain north of there.
President Trump's expected to announce a plan to sell weapons to NATO allies to be passed on to Ukraine.
The European Union is paying for it. We're not paying anything for it, but we will send it. It'll be business for us, and we will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
Mr. Trump set to meet with NATO Secretary General at the White House today. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. The classic saying goes, turn around, don't drown. It's catchy and it's made that way for a reason.
If they're driving and they can turn around and go to a safe location, they should do that. We don't want drivers going through any standing water.
That's Rebecca Simkowski, the director of WSDOT Bureau of Highway Maintenance. Well, thankfully, no one died in Wisconsin last year from a flood. In Illinois, 3 people died in a vehicle in floodwaters and 1 other person in Iowa. With a total of 145 people across the country just last year losing their lives in floods. And it's not always from rushing rivers overflowing their banks. Flash floods and thunderstorms can do the same.
You know, the reason for that is we don't know how deep it is. We don't know if there's any exposed wires or anything in the waters.
But what are we supposed to do when the storm hits and we're cruising at 70 miles per hour down the highway?
So they can pull over. Sometimes you can pull under a bridge if there's no standing water there.
Be sure to have those hazard lights on and get as far over as you can to give others space because the visibility is dropped.
Call their local police department to report some of the flooded roads. And in Wisconsin, the county highways maintain state highways, so they can also call the counties to report a flooding situation.
And after you've let law enforcement know that there's an undrivable area,
they might need to close some ramps down so people aren't getting on the highway. If it's a small segment of roadway, we can put up some barricades at logical locations. If we do have a road closure, we will place that on our 511 Wisconsin system,
which is a useful tool that even has cameras so you can see the live road conditions. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Brewers sweep the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat Washington 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But manager Pat Murphy said they weren't playing their best ball.
We weren't on all cylinders by any stretch in the last 3 games, but we had big innings and we did what we had to do. And, you know, there were some unique performances, but it's Major League Baseball. Anytime you can win 3 games, you're lucky in a series. So it wasn't like we walked away with anything.
Right fielder Sal Frelick undergoing an MRI after making a sliding catch in foul territory, suffering a hamstring injury. Last night in the MLB draft, the Brewers selecting 5 new players, 2 infielders, 3 pitchers. The draft continues today. NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner as their new center, picked up in free agency from the Pacers. Turner asked if he's heard from Giannis yet.
Yeah, we texted back just a little bit, you know, but he was on vacation and I was on vacation, so, you know, I know how that goes.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny and a little muggy today. Our high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop down into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mid to upper 80s with more storms likely tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be back from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and the World Headquarters of Madison, taking a look at the weekend headlines and looking ahead to our next road trip with Jane Matinair. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, July 14th, 2025. Parker Olson producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and Selena Heller, Up North News reporter, standing by on Eau Claire. Dr. Kristen Lyerly in the Green Bay area, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be joining us as well to talk about the forecast for the start of this week. And Brittany, we'll just get right into it, because the forecast for yesterday, it didn't matter what the forecast was. You're going to get smoke no matter what up here. It was super heavy. And it was just best not to even try to go outside until later when it dissipated. And we'll talk a bit about that, about some members of Congress writing a letter of complaint to Canada. I mean, talk about a case of old man shakes fist at cloud. But
right,
the larger concern for us here is, while it has certainly dissipated, you know, since its peak yesterday afternoon, are we kind of past that peak? Or I know these things kind of come and go in cycles. What are we looking at from that standpoint as we head into the rest of the weather forecast for today?
Absolutely. So one of the main things, I don't know if you've noticed, it seems like either we get a stormy, hot and humid kind of day, or we get the more comfortable but wildfire smoke hazy days. And that's happening because of a high pressure system. So as the high pressure system moves into the area and we've got a prevailing wind mainly out of the northwest, from the Canada direction, it starts to pull in that air right to Wisconsin. And then the high pressure system actually sinks and calms the air. So it's pulling everything way up high in the atmosphere down to the ground and allowing it to settle. And that's where we are really breathing it in and feeling those effects. So today, yes, we still have a high pressure system covering a majority of the state. A lot of the bad or worse air quality is staying stuck to the east side and far up north, so pretty much by the lakes right now. We are still seeing it kind of wanting to increase to a moderate to unhealthy level still through this afternoon and into this evening, again, especially north and east. So statewide, that wildfire smoke air quality alert is still in effect, and we can expect another sunny but hazy type of day. It will be warm, but it will be dry. Highs will hit the mid-80s all across the state, and it's going to be slightly sticky and humid, especially off to the west and right where this front is draped. We have a stalled front over northwest Wisconsin right now, and it's going to ever so slowly nudge in towards central Wisconsin, more north-central, by this evening. Some showers, maybe a tiny isolated storm could spark from that. Chances are very, very low. That is the chance, and that's kind of that front there. So once that moves through, we'll start to see some better air quality conditions. But for now, especially south of that front, it's not looking too good today.
All right, let's check the mailbag here from Tigerton. Rob says, good morning. It's sunny and hazy and 65. I got my lawn jobs in Wittenberg today, battling the smoke. I had a mowing job Saturday afternoon after getting 6/10 of an inch of rain Friday night. It's the 30th anniversary of the 1995 heat wave that hit Wisconsin from July 12th to 15th. Seven people died there. He says, congratulations, Pat, on your 600th show and letting me be a part of it. It is must-listen radio every weekday morning. He says, today is my sister Debbie's birthday. She is 54 years old. Well, you may not get another birthday now after sharing your sister's age on the radio like that, Rob, but that's okay. Rob also said, as part of Lasagna Awareness Month, he made lasagna yesterday for supper, and he does try to cook there. He said he took a picture of the sunset Saturday with the smoke and haze, and it made Channel 2 in Green Bay. That sunset last night up here through that smoke, I mean, that sun was huge and so red.
Yes.
And gorgeous. To be honest, but
I was going to say that's the only positive of the wildfire smoke. That, I feel
yes, that really is exactly it. Let's see. Alicia says, "Happy 600th episode here." Let's see from Joe in Superior. Oh, we talked about in our last segment the Who as an opening act for Herman's Hermits back in the day. Joe says, my wife from Babbitt, Minnesota, attended the Herman's Hermits Who concert in Duluth as a young girl, and she was shocked when they smashed their guitars. I don't know if the Who was doing that at the Herman Hermits show. Maybe, I guess, you know, that would be a shocking thing coming off of Herman's Hermits. Text from Rosemary and Oliva. What three states is Civic Media now broadcasting from? We mentioned earlier about Civic Media expanding and now has stations in Michigan and Minnesota as well. So the empire just grew. Brittany has so many more places where she's got to do a forecast for.
But I know. But hey, it's nice because Minnesota, we always get their stuff. So it's easy, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, so it's like pre-casting for all of us. You know, you're up to the challenge. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you next hour.
Sounds good.
All right. A reminder, as always, you can subscribe to the Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner on top of the homepage. You can get our weekday newsletter, and you can get the Sunday morning politics newsletter that I put together. And we have already received a lot of responses to our question of the week, which I have to say I kind of came up with on a lark as I was writing the newsletter. And it's the consternation over the winner of the Democratic mayoral primary in New York City, Zoran Mamdani, and people saying that he is just taking the party too far to the left, like AOC and Bernie Sanders and all those, and that it's going to turn off moderates and it's going to cost Democrats elections. However, there is also a contingent that is so happy to see some Democrats not be so squishy anymore and actually say what you stand for, because it is in line with the values of a majority of Americans. So which is it for Democrats? Are they going too far to the left, or is that just right? Or is the party a big tent and it's got room for everybody? So we joke about Democrats in disarray. We have certainly seen Republicans in disarray. We're talking about the Democrats this time in our question of the week. So sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, or send us your thoughts by email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or put something in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube where you can watch us live doing this little shindig every day. Selena Heller does some of that reporting for us at Up North News, and one of the stories she's been working on lately deals with farmers who have been watching President Trump's trade war with our trading partners, allies, and friends, because why wouldn't you declare war on your friends, right? And the uncertainty that's brought to farmers. Now, Selena, the White House promised 90 trade deals in 90 days with 90 countries. And the correct answer so far is almost one. There's one trade deal that is almost official and not much else. And Selena, you talked to farmers who would certainly like a little bit more certainty when it comes to their ag export markets.
Oh my goodness, yes. And, you know, I talked to them like in the fall too, and it was kind of the same message. It's things need to be stable and not all of this uncertainty and changing, and what can we plan for? It's so hard to plan for the future and buying their supplies and, you know, for their fields. And I mean, just everything, they just need some certainty. And there are so many variables in farming, like, you know, the weather. So they'd like, just like something to be something that they can grab a hold of and plan for. So, yes.
And so you talked to, are we hearing just from one Chippewa County farmer in this clip?
A couple of them. Les Danielson is from Cadott, and then we were at the Peck family farm, which is just outside of Chippewa Falls, and that is Jeff Peck, and he talks about all of that too. And Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin, came for a visit to the farm, and they talked to her about kind of all of the problems that they can potentially have with all of this uncertainty.
Here's a little 2-minute clip compilation of the people that she talked to about the uncertainty that Wisconsin farmers continue to face today.
As you disrupt our trade, it's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. You can't emphasize enough.
It takes a long time sometimes to build those relationships, but you can break them pretty quickly. You got to be a good neighbor. You know, it's still business at the end of the day, so we have mm-hmm. to have good business deals, but you also got to go about it in the right way.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin toured the Peck family farm in Chippewa Falls and talked with local producers and farmers about how Trump's trade war is hurting their operations and causing uncertainty.
You know, farms are usually a very narrow margin and sometimes, unfortunately, a negative margin. So anytime you have uncertainty and prices jumping around, that just is an extra challenge that we would prefer not to have.
When you look at Wisconsin, rural, the northern part of Wisconsin, the central part of Wisconsin, a lot of the money that comes into these counties comes from ag commodities, whether it be corn, soybeans, or beef. That's what keeps these small towns in business, like Thorpe, Stanley, Gilman. You know, that's what they survive on, is the farmers doing well. So it's really important that we maintain these trade agreements, that we're able to export our ag products and keep the prices up, because that's what supports rural America.
In the first months of his administration, President Trump launched a trade war with Wisconsin's three largest trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, increasing input costs, cutting off export markets, and making it harder for farmers and producers to plan for the future.
The biggest problems we have is we don't know the cost of our inputs, whether it be our fertilizer, our crop protection products like our chemicals. A lot of those come from China. A lot of our fertilizer comes from Canada. Then on the other end of the scale, a lot of our products are exported. 20% of our soybeans last year went to China. 5% of our ethanol goes to Canada. And as we have disruptions with our major buyers, where are we going to sell our product?
The president campaigned on bringing grocery costs down, bringing other costs down. And the policies that he's put forward have been producing just the opposite result.
I didn't think we'd have this many problems with our allies like Canada and Mexico. I'm not surprised some of the other countries, but do we have any friends? You know, is it America first or is it America alone?
And I think that was the perfect way to end this. Is it America first or America alone? And people are seeing that one thing that Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail is turning into something a little bit different here. And now with that recent trade deal deadline passing, we still don't know what's next. Do they extend the deadline? What does this mean? And again, if you're trying to plan, you know, say, what are you going to plant next year, or how many cows you're going to milk, anything like that, there's still nothing new from this White House that helps farmers know what they can expect for a business plan.
Yeah, and of course they knew all of this was, they expected all this to come just exactly as it played out. And like I talked with Les last fall, and it was kind of like I talked to him that day, and he said, and I said, you know, this is exactly what you expected. And he said, yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. But anytime they can kind of try to get the word out how important farms are, no matter who it is, to anybody, any legislator that will come, they will try to tell the importance of farms in a community.
And by the way, it's not just farms. Kristen and I have talked about things like occupations, tourists, medical students. With tourism down, international tourism is down, international education is going to be down, which, and then the limits on loans, Kristen, for student loans, there's absolutely nothing there that indicates anything but a continuing shortage in many areas. Medicine right up there at the top of the list.
It's true, but I want to go back to farmers because we all come from farmers. I mean, Pat, your wife grew up on a dairy farm. My mom grew up on a dairy farm that my uncle still owns. Selena, we are all from farmers. And what do you know about farmers? They're not political. They're incredibly practical, and they will roll with the punches until they just can't roll anymore. And that's what they've done for generations and generations. And they have hit a breaking point right now where our leaders are not supporting them, just lip service. All they're getting is lip service. They need support, because if they don't get support, We don't get food. We have to support our farmers.
Yeah. Selena Heller, Up North News reporter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly here as well. A local update is next for some of you. And then we'll continue along here live from Lake Wissota, from the heart of America's Up North. Thank you for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hands a big win to the environment. The court ruled it's unconstitutional for a legislative committee to block rules created by state agencies. The decision means good environmental rules now face an easier path to getting to the finish line and becoming law. For years, legislative vetoes by a handful of legislators stymied a long list of environmental protections. After more than 30 years, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program is going unfunded. Money for the legacy program was stripped out of the budget by the Joint Committee on Finance. The program helps preserve our state's wildlife areas and fisheries through land purchases and grants. Now that the budget has been signed, it's unclear how the vital program will continue, although there is talk of a standalone bill that would revive it. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning, and welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Plus, you can also catch our Wausau local segments at 22 and 52 after the hours during the 7 and 8 o'clock hour on our WXCO YouTube channel as well. Go to YouTube.com and go to the 98.9 WXCO channel, and you can see live our segments, and you can also go back and listen to previous segments as well. Hey, I'm back. Yes, after a week away, I am Chad Holmes, back here after taking my vacation. Taking my summer vacation. The way I do it every year is at the end of the school year, because we do so many broadcasts of high school sports, I never want to take away any time during the midst of the season. So when the school year ends, when the spring sports ends, I take a week off, and I always go out to Vegas and play a little poker in the World Series of Poker. So I did that last week, and was in the hot weather out in Las Vegas, but it is great to be back. It's great to see across the way our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, hey,
you held, morning, Chad. It's great to have you back.
Held down the fort last week, made sure that everything, all the walls didn't come tumbling down.
Yeah.
But no, it's wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to be back coming up here during our local segments today. I'm going to discuss the
I would say controversial. I guess there's disagreement when it comes to the city of Wausau and their contract with a religious group for a shelter for the homeless. And it's obviously a very, I think at times, difficult issue, but I think it's something that should be discussed as well. And I have a few thoughts on that we'll discuss coming up in just a few minutes. Also, I'm going to talk about a little bit later on a discussion that I heard when I was in Vegas at the World Series of Poker. There is a one of the most famous poker players, one of the most decorated poker players in history, who is a Wisconsin native. His name is Phil Hellmuth. And during the main event of the World Series of Poker, I was watching, and during the course of the poker, you know, players at the table talk, you know, and they talk about different things.
Right.
And Phil Hellmuth talked about something, and it caught my attention because it, I think, kind of is a microcosm of what a lot of well-to-do folks think. And I think it really perked my ears up, and we're going to talk about that because I think it has a lot to do with the mindset of a lot of well-to-do, and also I think the mindset of a lot of folks in government and concerning taxes. So I want to talk about that a little bit later on. And also, of course, I imagine you probably missed last week not being able to have your number for the day quiz. I imagine that was hard.
It was
hard.
Nice to have a week off.
You've been
and
doing pretty.
I'm back. I'm ready to recharge my brain and get. I started with a new set of numbers this week.
But you were doing very well in the last number of weeks. I think the last 2 weeks, for sure. I think you may have had winning weeks, if I'm not mistaken. At the very least,
3 out of 5, I believe.
Yeah. So you were doing pretty well. So let's see if you can take that break, get rejuvenated, and then come back and get off to a good start today. So we'll do that as well. So that's on the itinerary coming up here during our local segments, again, at 22 and 52 after the hour at 7 and 8 o'clock in these hours. Right now, it's a very pleasant start. I got to tell you, after being in temperatures in the upper 100s, not the 190s, the upper 100s in Vegas last week. It's very refreshing here in north central Wisconsin. It looks like it's going to be a warm day. Temperature getting into the 80s, mid-80s, in fact, before all is said and done today. But then we do have a chance of some rain tonight into tomorrow and tomorrow night, and especially Wednesday as well. So it looks like it could be a rather wet week. By the way, how was the weather here last week? What did I miss? What happened last week that I may have missed?
Well, honestly, the temperatures have been, well, summer-like, which I believe is pretty normal. It's been the mid to low 80s for most of the week. We had a little bit of rain over a couple of days. Some days it was raining pretty hard too. This weekend was unfortunately it was not the best weekend to be outside because we had an air quality alert for the entire weekend.
Yeesh.
Because of the wildfires, and you know, really sucks for my family because my mom and my brother Logan like to sit outside on our back porch when the weather is nice, and because of the air quality, they couldn't actually do it until like Sunday evening. Well, the air quality was starting to get a little better by the evening, but for Friday and Saturday, it's just there was a lot of haze, and unfortunately, it didn't help with my sinuses at all.
I can imagine. But yeah. No, it's that time. I mean, it's like last summer. We had the same issues with the Canadian wildfires and the air quality a year ago as well.
The weird thing was, though, they didn't say where the wildfires were coming from. It just said wildfires. Oh, so I don't know if it was from Canada or somewhere else, but it just said there was the haze from the wildfires somewhere close to us.
Good point. To not assume. Never assume. Real quickly, also, as well, I mean, I'm coming back. I don't think the Brewers may have lost since I was away because the Brewers have won 7 games in a row.
Well, the Brewers have been doing exceptionally well.
I actually last week I was walking through one of the casinos and I saw in the sportsbook area that these big TVs, and it was like a day game, the last game the Brewers were playing Los Angeles, the Dodgers. So I sat down and was watching for a while, and there in that part of the country, a lot of Dodger fans. So Dodgers were winning until the Brewers came back in the ninth to tie it and then win it in the tenth. And I'm just sort of sitting there quietly while a lot of folks were getting upset. But the Brewers doing very well, just one game behind the Cubs in the NL Central. But coming up again in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about this issue. Try to look at it from all perspectives when it comes to the city of Wausau and their deal with a religious group that has some discriminatory concerns involved in it. So we'll discuss that coming up at 7:52. But coming up next, we'll get it back to a Pat Kreitler who's celebrating his 600th show of Up North. Well, the Pat Mornings with Pat Kreitler. But we'll send it back to Pat after the farm report coming up next. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Glad you can be with us here on this Monday morning on 98.9 WXCO.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At this time of the year, we talk a lot about auctions, on-farm auctions, auctions at the county fair. But beginning today, a unique auction giving you an opportunity. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. That's because today through the 21st, the Bureau of Land Management within the U.S. Department of the Interior hosting their online corral auction, giving you a chance to adopt and buy wild horses and donkeys. Jason Luderman from the National Wild Horse and Burro Program says it's your chance to give these animals not only a good home, but potentially find yourself a good work partner. He says donkeys, for example, can do many different things.
So a lot of people use them as guard animals. Burros make great guard animals. They'll run off coyotes or other predators that might threaten your herd. A lot of people just keep them as pets. I mean, you take one look at one of those burros and you'll see why. They're very cute animals, and a lot of people have them around as pets or livestock guardians. Some people take them on the trails as well. They can be used as pack animals. Basically anything you want a donkey to do, that's what this burro is for.
Jason Luderman with the National Wild Horse and Burro Program. He says they do this auction about every 4 to 5 years to make sure that the animal numbers in rangeland in the West aren't becoming overcrowded and that the animals stay healthy. If you're interested in getting involved, again, the online sale from now through the 21st, and the pre-application process takes less than a business day to complete. We've got a link up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
There's a quick update for you on food and farming news for a Monday. Remember, our talk text line is open to you anytime. Communicate directly with us by calling or texting 877-301-FARM. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny and a little muggy today. Our high in the mid to upper 80s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop down into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mid to upper 80s with more storms likely tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
$7.35 back here on the Civic Media Radio Network, or perhaps you're listening later on as a podcast or watching us later on Facebook or YouTube. Well, a reminder, if you're not one of those people potting us, you can head over to Spotify and sign up to follow our show as a podcast. You can do it at Apple as well, or any of those other places where you get your favorite podcasts. And I know that there's at least one new subscriber on Spotify because in visiting my mom yesterday, Kristen and Parker,
Patrick,
one of my sisters set her up on her iPad with Spotify so aww, that she could listen to her music, meaning the 50s and 60s, you know.
There you go.
And so I said, oh, let me see that. Looked at her Spotify, clicked a couple of buttons and said, congratulations, you're my newest subscriber.
Thanks. Padding your stats. I like it.
Yep. Hey, I will come to your house too and do the same thing if you like. Just let me know.
Already like that, Pat. Yep. He's on the radio again.
Well, she normally listens over, you know, like Facebook instead or something, but now she's got a new way to do it. So good for you, Mom. Good job.
Hi, Mom.
letting your son borrow that iPad for just a moment here. I mentioned a minute ago that there were members of Congress, including two from Wisconsin, who felt the need to send a letter to Canada. That would include, it was Tom Tiffany and Glenn Grothman, who joined with some other members of Congress from Minnesota, sending a letter to complain about wildfire smoke. And they blamed, quote, the lack of active forest management for the spread of the wildfires. And the letter goes on to say, our constituents have been limited in their ability to go outside and safely breathe due to the dangerous air quality the wildfire smoke has created. In our neck of the woods, summer months are the best time of the year to spend time outdoors, recreating, enjoying time with family, and creating new memories. But this wildfire smoke makes it difficult to do all these things. I might have added some dramatic flair to that, but how do you suppose that letter was received by the Canadian Forest Service, Kristen?
Embarrassing.
It is. It's embarrassing. And it sparked a robust response from the Premier of Manitoba, who accused the members of Congress of trivializing the efforts to battle the fires. And he writes, this is what turns people off politics. When you've got a group of Congress people trying to trivialize and make hay out of a wildfire season where we've lost lives in our province. I have shaken the hands of American firefighters in northern Manitoba who are helping us out, and I would challenge these ambulance chasers in the U.S. Congress to go and do the same and to hear how much the American firefighting heroes who are here love our province. I mean, it really was about the least neighborly thing you could expect Tiffany and Grothman and the others to do.
First of all, if you have a breathing disability or disorder, please take care of yourself. The air quality is not good. So seek shelter, wear a mask, stay in your house where you have filtered air. This will pass. Second of all, oh, Canada, I'm so sorry. Did you see the ad that the Quebec tourism folks put out about America?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's a fella who's checking into a Quebec hotel, and she asks, where are you from? And he says, I'm an American. And she goes, and she hits a button under her desk, and the desk opens, and she walks out and just gives him a hug. And it says, Americans, you are welcome. Please come and visit us here in Quebec. And it is so beautiful because they know, they understand. Every Canadian that I've talked to understands that this is not how Americans are, but it's how our leaders are acting. And it is just, it's embarrassing and it's so, so wrong.
Yes, it is. Our leaders and just enough Americans, and many of them were at the Turning Point conference over the weekend to, again, put on a display worthy of our apologies to Canada and others. Congressman Tiffany put up on Twitter, another weekend of Canadian wildfire smoke and air quality warnings across Wisconsin and Minnesota. With today's modern tools to prevent wildfires, this shouldn't keep happening. By today's modern tools, I think we know what Tom Tiffany means by that. You know, Captain Clearcut, Captain Extraction, who probably believes that the next step for Canada should be a series of strip mines. Because after all, you can't have forest fires if there are only holes in the ground where the forest used to be, right? Pretty smart guy.
It's so hard to believe that this is a fella who represents a part of the country that depends on forestry as a primary industry. It is either the first or second most important economic driver in the state of Wisconsin. So Tom Tiffany should be smarter. Turn to the foresters and learn what this means. Yes, there is responsible forestry management, but that doesn't mean clear cutting. That doesn't mean that all the underbrush needs to go away. That seems neat if you are somebody who lives in a suburban area and wants to clean up your yard, but that's not how forests work. So maybe Tom Tiffany needs a little education. I suspect quite a few of our Congress people do.
Well, their education is just, you know, what does industry want? And let's just give that to them and that will take care of our problems. No, it will create a whole new series. And you know, we don't need to talk about what they want to do to groundwater. Let's just be concerned about what they want to do to our forests to get to the groundwater.
Yes, and industry, actually, much of the forestry industry is into conservation. They work hand in hand with conservation efforts, with the DNR, because they recognize that they have to have sustainable forests if they're going to have a future in the industry. So don't be fooled. They are not actually even representing forestry as a profession and as an economic driver in the state.
Yeah. Hey, EAA Air Venture starts a week from today down in Oshkosh. Woo! Is that, I have not attended. Have you?
Once.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really an airplane person, but it is a huge deal.
It is a very huge deal. And I was looking at the Oshkosh Northwestern here, and they've already got a preview for the 72nd edition. Justin Marville put it together for the Northwestern, said that two Goodyear blimps are set to make their return to Air Venture. All the air shows will begin coming up next Monday as well. Let's see, there will be 700...
Wait, look at Parker's face. Parker's like having a moment right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Did you say there's going to be two blimps there?
I said two Goodyear blimps, marking Goodyear's centennial anniversary of flying airships.
Aren't there like seven blimps in the world?
That's how blimp-worthy this event is.
It's blimp-worthy.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yes.
That's wild.
It's described in his article as essentially flights Disney World, with the pomp and spectacle of the aeronautics industry from flying cars to fighter jets and flight simulations.
It's really cool. Even if you're not into planes like me, it's still really cool.
Yeah, there will be 860 exhibitors, 98 countries represented at least, and like I said, about 700,000 visitors. And, you know, I should let this go at this point because you know who's going to really want to talk about it in less than 30 minutes is going to be Brittany Merlot, who like camps, like literally camps there, you know, when she can. So
she's an EAA fangirl.
Yes. Alicia writes on YouTube, I got to find the photos for my first EAA air venture. And she also says, I think we need to sit these members of Congress down to watch the Lorax, talking about, you know, what's happening with the forests in Canada and everything else.
I think they could understand it on that level.
Whatever it takes, frankly, at this point, to try to get some kind of a message through to them. Over the weekend, again, you were traveling and just got back, so I'm guessing you have not seen the new Superman movie that came out over the weekend here.
No. Tell me more.
Well, I was just looking at the weekend box office here, and it says that in a bid to kick off a new era for DC Studios, James Gunn's Superman opened with $122 million in U.S. and Canadian ticket sales over the weekend. The roughly on-target opening was the third largest of the year so far, and the first of the DC Comics to surpass $100 million in its opening since Wonder Woman back in 2017. But here's the thing. Ticket sales were relatively soft for Superman overseas. In 78 international markets, it grossed only $95 million, including in China, just $6 million in sales. Because, of course, it is a quintessential American character. And America's image, taking a bit of a beating here because of our own little Lex Luthor in the White House right now.
Oh, I like that analogy. That's
see what
good.
I did there, huh? Uh-huh. So you had Superman at $122 million, Jurassic World Rebirth at $40 million, F1 the movie at $13 million, How to Train Your Dragon raised $8 million, and Elio at $4 million over the weekend. Thought about that yesterday, that you could go to a nice air-conditioned theater, not have to worry about the wildfire smoke, and go see a movie. Would have had to get off my butt to do it, and there was just too much to get done around the house. And it actually was nice. I mean, it's one thing if it's like a rainy, stormy day, or there's a blizzard, or it's really cold, and you go, all right, this is a day for getting stuff done around the house. Yesterday, instead, it was like, well, it looks really bad out there. It's sunny, it's breezy, but that smoke, I mean, you'd step outside for a second, and you'd swear it was like somebody put a whole bunch of campfires in the lot next door. And we said, nope, let's just get things done around the house. And it's amazing how many little things that you've neglected around the house you can get to when the circumstances warrant it, you know? Mm-hmm.
And you're given permission to stay in the house. Like, probably not a great idea to be outside. As much as in the summer, I want to be outside all the time. But on days like this, I think I might actually be able to empty my inbox today.
One more note about the weekend marked the 40th anniversary of Live Aid. And I have not asked you if Live Aid was something that you tuned into. Were you a part of? It seemed like this global phenomenon at the time, and I'll share my story in a minute, but do you have a Live Aid story?
Oh, I don't. It's not a story. I was just glued to the TV set because I loved all of that. That actually might be part of the reason that I do all of the philanthropic work that I do, because of what they did and why they did it. And those were all my heroes who were doing it. So they were modeling it for me.
They were. I mean, again, it was extremely altruistic. You're feeding hungry people in another part of the world. And you're doing it through two different concerts on two different continents, including, who was it? Was it Phil Collins that played both Wembley Stadium and was in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. Didn't he get on the Concorde?
Yeah, on the Concorde.
Yes.
You know, and it was just amazing. And my story is I was living, you know, going to UW-Eau Claire at the time, taking summer classes and living just off Water Street, which was not particularly a good thing to do if you were going to be studying over the summer. But somehow I managed to make that happen. And so my housemates and I, there were six of us living in the house, and we decided we were going to tape the whole thing. on cassette tapes. And that way we were going to have, I mean, talk about a box set. We were going to have cassettes with the entire concert. And it was funny to watch us like hour after hour, like whose turn is it to replace? Oh, wait, do we not have a tape? Well, we'll tape over this one. Yeah, we don't need this Huey Lewis in the news. We can buy a new one of those. We got to tape Live Aid. And it probably lasted 6 hours tops before we all just like, forget it. Okay, let's just enjoy it. Plus, it was a nice day outside, so we would kind of come in and out. So we weren't glued the entire time, but it was an event. I mean, especially for people your age, my age, We were glued. We wanted to watch that. And like you said, it just made us feel better. Like there is a difference to be made out there in the world.
And fortunately now there's YouTube, so we can watch great things like Freddie Mercury and Queen and Radio Gaga. Amazing.
We don't need my cassette tape player. Exactly. A local update is next for some of you. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVets.com. That's WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the Wausau Morning Report during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, we are back after I was away last week, but back at our normal schedule at 52 and 22 after the hours. I should say 22 and 52 after the hours during the 7 and 8 o'clock hours. We focus on what's going on here from our Wausau studios. And again, with our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. And Ian, last week when I was gone, a rather significant vote occurred in the Wausau City Council.
Oh, yeah?
Concerning
a contract with the Bridge Street Mission in order to provide some emergency shelter for those who do not have a home. Our unhoused community, which is an issue here in the Wausau area.
I'm familiar with the Bridge Street shelter. I have heard of them.
And there's some controversy involved in it. And I think and it's not an easy situation, to say the least. And right now, the city of Wausau has, again, an issue when it comes to the unhoused. And the council, after some pushback from members of the community and others, has decided to provide $1.25 million over 5 years to Bridge Street Mission to run a year-round emergency night shelter.
Wow.
And this is despite the organization's stated policy of not hiring employees or volunteers who, quote, whose sexual behavior violates biblical truths and principles.
Oh, I see.
A very difficult situation, and there was those who pushed back that there should not be discrimination and discriminatory policies involved in an organization where city tax dollars and city revenues are going towards. But on the other side of the coin is the idea that the Bridge Street Mission was the only organization that responded to a request for proposals. So there was a case where there was not another easy choice in order to provide the important shelter for the unhoused community. But there is, I think, a lot of uncomfortableness when it comes to basically giving a free pass to discrimination.
That's not good.
Well, right now, there is a temporary night shelter currently operated by the city of Wausau and Marathon County. It's scheduled to close on December the 31st. It typically serves 50 to 60 people each night, according to the police chief of Wausau, Matt Barnes. Catholic Charities will resume its winter night shelter, but with a typical capacity of just 30, according to an article at WausauPilotandReview.com. City officials said many people will be left without a place to go. Bridge Street Mission plans to open a renovated shelter at its new campus at 325 North First Avenue. According to city documents, this $1 million renovation will be funded independently by the nonprofit. But there is going to be a contract that the city will contribute the requested capital, beginning with $350,000 in 2026 and a $50,000 reduction in funding each subsequent year. The contract is set to renew automatically each subsequent year, and starting in 2031, Bridge Street Mission plans to operate the shelter without funding from local governments. Their statement of beliefs, their doctrine from Bridge Street Mission outlines its opposition to gender transition and restricts hiring based on sexual behavior. It was discussed by the council and in committee as well. And there were some alders who pushed back that the city should not fund an organization unwilling to commit to equal opportunity employment or comply with non-discriminatory protections. And the District 3 alder, Terry Killian, in the pilot article, was quoted as saying, "The Pledge of Allegiance stated that liberty and justice for all. It did not state liberty and justice for all unless you are gay." And that, I think, is a very good point.
Yes, it is.
It is such a difficult position question here, because the bottom line, I think, for some folks who may be very disturbed with the idea of giving city funding to a discriminatory organization, I think it's fair to say that, and that's not to say that Bridge Street Mission doesn't do a lot of wonderful things to help people in need. But the idea of the discrimination aspect is very disturbing to a lot of people. We see way too much discrimination right now in so many areas of our lives, of our public lives out there, where within communities. And instead of pushing back against it, to get into a deal with them is, I think, something that is so disturbing to many folks. But then
it's a double-edged sword, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then you think about the those that don't have a home, that need, especially in the winter months,
Very much.
The shelter. And then you think, what's... And you try to get down, I think, to the nub of the whole question about is providing that shelter so important that you're able to not overlook, I think that's a bad way of putting it, but to understand that perhaps that's more important. And I don't know. And it's just you wish that a group like the Bridge Street Mission that does so much good work would realize that discrimination in any form is not the right way to go. And
no, it isn't.
And it continues even to, I think, a bigger aspect is that that governments and cities and states and our federal government should be funding at a higher level to aid the people in need instead of looking for ways to cut taxes for those who have more. And that's something I'm going to talk about in our next local WASA segment at 8:22 about the idea of those who have all wanting more and maybe not realizing, in a sense, that while their lives are not adversely affected with paying a little more taxes, those who don't have enough are adversely affected when certain things go away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have that coming up at 8:22.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report.
9 people lost their lives in this building last night.
Fall River, Massachusetts Fire Chief Jeffrey Bacon after flames consumed an assisted living facility that housed about 70 people. He says many were rescued, some of them carried out because they couldn't walk.
The police department, fire department, and EMS were able to enact dozens of rescues to save multiple lives in this case.
First responders had to fight their way through smoke and flames, with some residents screaming out windows, begging to be saved. The chief says it's left his entire department shaken.
I would say that for anybody that was at this scene last night, not just firefighters, police officers, EMS, to seek the help that you need to deal with the tragic situation like this. Nobody's programmed to deal with this.
Family members who showed up say police were trying to break windows to get in. The cause of the fire at Gabriel House is under investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.